50s, but it still means today would be the day.
She's in the nursery.
It will be a glorious day, the day that will be.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Becky. That was great. Always a great hymn. Great song to sing. What a glorious day that will be. And it will be a glorious day one day when we all see Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, I had in the bulletin I was going to preach on the topic of false prophets from 1 John chapter 4. You can just throw that away. Amen. I got something else I want to preach about today. I want to talk about it. I don't know so much it's going to be preaching as it is talking and discussing. The Lord has touched me in a special way. For those of you that came to the revival any of those nights or maybe even all of those nights, guys, something has come over me, and I know it's the Holy Spirit that's leading me, and He spoke to me very clearly last night. And I want to talk to you guys as a church today about just things that have spiraled off of that. I don't know about you, but I felt so on fire and so in touch after those services were over. The testimonies were awesome. There were some life-changing testimonies that were given. And I'm going to come down here because I want to be on y'all's level today. I don't want to feel like I'm elevated above anybody because I'm just a worthless servant who's willing to serve Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And I don't want to feel like I'm up above anybody when I'm talking today because I'm going to talk from my heart today. I guess if I were to title this sermon, I could call it the State of Bethesda Address. But I don't want to get too political. You know, it's not going to be like a State of the Union thing. But it is going to be a state of the heart thing. And I believe many of you will be in tune to what I'm going to say here over the next few minutes. But guys, I look back at that revival and I was like, Lord, how was that thing so successful? How was it so successful? How was it that lives were touched? How was it that the Holy Spirit of God was anointing this place each and every night? How was it that those testimonies were so powerful? And you know what? You know what God told me? Prayer. Prayer. That thing had been prayed for over a year. And you see the results of what fervent prayer will do when people unite and people pray and people have the same accord and the same mission in mind. Prayer delivered revival. Prayer can deliver that every week here at Bethesda. Amen. That's what I want to talk to you about. Here's the thing that just burdens my heart. We have a great revival like that. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm going to be totally honest with you here today. And most of us are just folks that come here every week. Hopefully I'm not going to run away any visitors here today. Amen. It's never my intention to do that, but it is my intention to do what God leads me to do. You want a leader, right? You don't want a follower here at Bethesda, right? You want a pastor that will lead the congregation and that will share visions that God gives him. I believe that in years past, sometimes people didn't want to hear what the pastor had to say here at this church. I'm just going to be point blank honest with you. I'm sure that there were a lot of visionary pastors that have come through this church, but sometimes their vision may not have been accepted. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe God wants to do some great things at this church. Amen. Amen. And I believe He wants to start with the people that are in this church. He wants to start with our young people. He wants to use the wisdom of our older people. He wants to use our younger and middle-aged adults to weave together a fellowship of believers that can reach out to a lost and dying world and community in which we live. But guys, it's going to take prayer. It's going to take unified prayer for us to get where God wants us to be. You know, I've been preaching for many weeks. I felt like God would not release me from preaching about light and dark, about living a lie, about thinking you were saved and you're really not. And, you know, I'm not completely over that yet, but God is telling me, guys, we've got to do something different. If you do things the same way, you always get the same results. Amen. And I just know how I feel. How many of you felt the Holy Spirit that we're here at revival? How many of you felt it? I mean, we were worshiping God. And let me make something clear here, okay? How you want to worship is between you and God. Should we worship is an absolute, okay? If we come to church and all we're going to do is we're going to sit in these pews, guys, I'm going to tell you something. I have tried to pour my heart out to y'all every Sunday from what God's given me. But sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to these four walls. Is anybody getting it? Is anybody listening? Does anybody want to worship a risen Savior with me? Amen? Can we get a hand clap? Can I see that somebody's alive here in the house today? Guys, let me tell you something. It's okay to do that. We can get excited about any and everything else. We can act like complete fools at a ball game. We get so into it. But when we come to God's house, we think that there's a certain way we ought to be doing everything. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a glorious thing that's going on in heaven. I'm reading a book right now that's really changing my life as I read each chapter of it. And I want to share some stuff with you today. I'm just talking about this today, guys. And I hope you'll bear with me. Has anybody ever read the book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbala? Anybody ever read this book? Go get it. Go get it. I'm telling you. This book will impact you like no other book will. I mean, I started reading this book just yesterday and I'm about halfway through with it now, but this guy right here has opened my eyes to some things. I want to share a couple of excerpts from you, or for you here from this book real quick. And I want you to listen to what he says here, because he was point on with these comments right here. Listen to this right here. If we don't want to experience God's closeness here on earth, why would we want to go to heaven anyway? Think about that for a minute. If we don't want to experience God's closeness here on earth, why would we want to go to heaven anyway? If you don't want to get close to Jesus here on earth, what has heaven got to offer you? You see what I'm saying? I mean, heaven is going to be, Jesus is going to be the central focus point in heaven. If we don't want to get in tune with Him here, if we don't want to worship Him here, if we don't want to glorify Him here, what is there for us in heaven? Sure. Nothing. Let me just go ahead and answer that. Nothing. He goes on to say here, He is the center of everything there, talking about heaven. If we don't enjoy being in His presence here and now, then heaven would not be heaven for us. Why would he send anyone there who doesn't long for him passionately here on earth? I.e., are you living a lie? You see, it all goes back. It all ties in together. Because if you're a true born-again believer, you're going to want to be all you can be for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to want to be all you can be for Him. You're going to want to sell out to Him. You're going to want to get so excited sometimes that you do at least pat your foot a little bit when you hear a song. Okay? Some people won't even pat their foot when they hear a song that really touches them and moves them. Guys, let me tell you something. We got to connect with Jesus every Sunday here at Bethesda.
Amen.
And because of that, I'm going to propose some things that we do a little bit different. Okay? Some of you may be saying, oh, Lord, what's he fixing to come up with now? I promise you it won't cost a penny. What it will do is help bring you closer to the Savior. Amen?
Amen?
What it will do is help draw you together and draw us together as a body of believers. For one thing, I believe there's three essential elements we must have at this church if we're going to glorify God, if we're going to draw closer to Jesus, and if we're going to get where He wants us to be. Number one, we got to be a true praying church. Well, preacher, I do pray. Okay, good. I do too. I'm talking about unified prayer. I'm talking about when we have prayer time up here, I want it to be different. I want us to come up here and I want us to pray. I don't want it to be just me praying. I don't want you to be loud and hollering and carrying on, but I want everybody to pray. Pray what God's putting on your hearts. Come up here to this altar and pray. And if somebody is sick and in need of healing, we don't leave this church until if they're here, we bring them up here and we pray for them and we anoint them.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you what, there's power in prayer. There are so many miracles that were worked. This guy right here is the pastor, been there for 35 years. You ever heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle? This guy's the pastor of that. He started off in a rickety old building with 10 church members, ready to quit, wanting to quit every other week. So discouraged, so disgruntled. But then they begin to pray. They use their prayer meeting time for true prayer. That's another thing I want to do different. I want our prayer meeting from now on Wednesday to be a prayer meeting. We bring out names. We pray for people by name. We pray for this church. We pray for the lost. We can study the Bible at church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'm not saying it's wrong to study the Bible on Wednesday nights. We've done it a lot. But we need to pray. We need to bring prayer into our service, and we need to be praying for the direction God wants us to go. Because you see, this church of 10 people in Brooklyn in a rough area of New York, this guy was like, Lord, I don't know about this. You know, this is a little nerve-wracking. We got people getting killed, drug dealers on either side of the church coming in and out. And you know what? This church now, 35 years later, has 10,000 members. 10,000. Their choir is world renowned. They've recorded many albums and things. I'm not saying we're going to be a church like that, but what I'm saying is this. That church was born out of prayer. The direction that God gave them was God inspired and people led through the Holy Spirit to accomplish. And that's what it's about. If you love Jesus, prove it. Get a little excited sometimes. Clap your hands if something agrees with you. It's okay to say amen. I just don't get how we come to church Sunday after Sunday and sit here with the same looks on our faces and walk out the door. I'm not sure if you ever even got revived when you came in here. But guys, I'm telling you what, that revival did something to me. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me, and He's saying, we need to be a praying church, and if you pray and you trust me, the sky's the limit for Bethesda Baptist Church. How many of you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
I give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. That's what it's all about. If you believe that, and you seriously want to be a part of that, then we're going to do that. Now, I know some of you right here, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, and I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings, but I am here to tell what Jesus has laid on my heart. Amen. Y'all want to hear the truth? The truth of the matter is this. When you plant a garden and seeds come up, remember I talked to you about the wheat and the tares, but I'm going to use it from a little bit of a different angle. You got to weed out that garden sometimes in order for it to thrive. So if some of you don't feel led to get on board and serve God and be sold out for God, then hey, I understand it if this is not the place for you. If in turn you want to do all you can for Jesus and you want God to work in your life in a way that you've never experienced before, then this is the place for you. I don't want anybody to leave, but I don't want anybody to quench the Holy Spirit of God either. Amen. I want to be able to feel the Holy Spirit of God every time we come in this place. I don't want to come off a revival and say, oh Lord, our spiritual balloon is fixing to deflate. It's Sunday morning again. Is anybody with me? Anybody with me in the house today? That's what's happening. Not just in this church. People get excited about God. Revival breaks out. We get excited. Man, after Wednesday night, I didn't even realize the service had gone 2 hours. I mean, I was locked in. One testimony after another. The choir was great. Preaching was great. Guys, these were young men. The oldest one, only 23. Bringing the Word of God. This thing was so prayed over and so anointed by the Holy Spirit that it had to be successful. Amen. It had to be successful. This church can be successful if we become a praying church. And I'm not talking about each of us praying and going our own way. I'm talking about unifying our prayers and putting them into action and following what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do. You know, I've got great vision for what I'd like to see in this church, but God has also spoke to me about something. If you try to short arm somebody into something, like I'll be honest with you, I'd love for us to eventually to have some people that'll play some musical instruments here. Some of you saying, I don't want all that. Let me tell you something. The book of Psalms talks about praising God with the stringed instruments, with the tambourines, with the horns. Guys, when Jesus comes back, what does the Bible say it's going to be with? A trumpet blast. Okay, if Jesus is going to come back to that, don't you think he loves to hear some of that here in his house? But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to beg anybody to do it. I want you to let the Holy Spirit direct you. I'm going to pray hard that God will either touch people in our church here to do that or bring us people that want to do that, because I think it's important. We got to step up our music program here at the church. Becky's doing a great job. But guys, we got to get people on board. We can't hardly get anybody to sing in the choir. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a heavenly chorus going on one day. And we're all going to be a part of it. It doesn't matter if you can't sing. We need to sing. And when we sing, it doesn't need to be like this. Amazing grace. I mean, who are you singing to? You need to might as well turn right over here when you sing like that and sing to these gravestones over here, because it's singing like you're dead. Right. You're singing to dead people. Guys, if nothing else, sing as unto the Lord. Don't be ashamed to sing, even if you can't sing. Just don't tell your neighbor they can't sing good, amen? If you have to, put a piece of cotton in your ear if you sit by the same person every Sunday and they're off key, okay? But sing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Amen.
Guys, I'm telling you something. I don't want to come down off how I feel right now. And if I have anything to do with it, we're going to pump some life into us here. Because you know how sometimes you need to kind of coax an animal along and you can finally get it to do something for you. If you'll follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, He'll take you where He wants you to be at any point in time in your life.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
He'll take you there. All you got to do is get on board with Him. Man, I'm on board. I'm telling you what. When I get home on Sunday afternoons, it's all I can do not to just collapse in the chair when I get over there. Why? Because I've given it all I can give. Now what I'm saying is, let's all give all we can give. If all you can give is a little spurt here and a little spurt there, then give it. If you can give more, give more. Because I believe God wants to do a great thing here in this church.
Amen.
When we build that building, I didn't say if we build it, because God gave the vision, God is making the provision, and God is going to get the glory for it when it gets built. Amen? It's going to be built. Some of you right now are sitting in your seat saying, oh, it's a waste of space. We don't even fill up the Sunday school rooms now. Let me tell you something. That's why hell is going to be a whole lot bigger than heaven. Amen? That's why hell is going to be a whole lot bigger than heaven. Because people who think they're all this and all that really are missing the boat. It's all about kingdom work. It's all about kingdom work. I'm preaching from the heart here. I didn't have a script. Amen. I didn't write down anything. I had a sermon all written out. And I said, Lord, you don't want me to preach that. I'm gonna talk about something else here. But guys, it's about kingdom work. We got to be a praying church. We got to be a worshiping church. Okay, that's the second thing I'm trying to get across to you. Worship. Not sit here with our hands by our sides singing as unto the dead. We got to pep it up some. We got to sing with voices that really glorify God. You know what? I'm almost tempted to just sing some a cappella stuff just to where we can get used to raising our voices a little bit. What do you think about that, Della? That might work, wouldn't it? Give her a break too, amen? But guys, listen to me. Am I the only one feeling this? How many of you understand what I'm saying here? Please let me know. I don't want to think I'm preaching to the choir here. But guys, we have so much potential. And I'm going to tell you something. God is going to honor and glorify those of us who put Him first and who give all we have to Him. Amen.
Amen.
That's who He's going to glorify. We glorify Him. He's going to honor us.
Yes.
He's going to bless us. And it's going to happen. You know why? Because God's Word says it will. The third thing I think we need to be as a church is a loving church. You may be saying right now, well, preacher, we love everybody. I love people. I know that. But I'm going to tell you what. We got to be to the point where if the worst dressed, smelliest person walked in that door right now, we'd love them just as much as the best dressed person and the best smelling person in this church. Amen?
Amen.
And until we're willing to do that, we don't have the love of Christ like we need to have. See, until we have that, we're not showing Jesus. Did Jesus go up and hang around the Pharisees who were well-dressed and well-groomed and well-hygienated? Is that a word? I know homogenated is, amen. I'm going to say hygienated. That means they got some hygiene about them, amen. You know what? Yeah, it is uncomfortable if you sit beside somebody and they're not dressed exactly like you. But guess what? Jesus said, I have come for the sick. I've not come for the well. I've come to heal the sick, to lead people to a saving knowledge of my Father. So we got to become a loving church. We cannot, and guys, I preached on that a couple of weeks now. How can you say you love Jesus, but yet you hate your brother? Any successful church who is full of the Holy Ghost, who is worshiping and honoring and serving Jesus each and every Sunday, is an accepting and welcoming church to anybody that walks in the doors. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what their background is. I don't care where they've come from. It's not about where you came from. It's about where you're going.
Amen?
Amen? It's about where you're going. See, some people they're not going anywhere. They're spinning their wheels, just like when you get in a mud hole, you give it some gas. Your wheels start spinning. Guys, your intention is to get out of that mud hole, right? But the reality of it is, unless you do something different, you're not getting out of that mud hole. You're going to stay there and you're going to keep spinning. So if your idea of worshiping God is to come in and just go through the motions, then guys, Bethesda might not be the church for you. Because we're fixing to start glorifying God here, amen?
Amen.
We're fixing to start worshiping the risen Savior here. We're fixing to move as God moves us. Why? Because that's what it's all about.
Yes.
It's not about staying where you are. It's about getting where He wants you to be.
Sure.
And where He wants us to be is in tune with Him. Not our own agenda. Guys, you'll know and we'll know when this church is in tune with the Holy Spirit because Miss Ann won't have to beg people to bring food when we have a death.
Yeah.
We won't have to be having the same four or five people come around and help clean up and do these work days and all. People going to want to come. You know why? Because they're serving Jesus.
Amen.
They want to be a part of it. Right now, we've got people that are very, very dedicated in this church. I want to see more of that. Don't you want that?
Amen.
Don't you want the Holy Spirit of God working through you?
Yes.
Because guys, I'm telling you something. That service touched me. those services, I should say, touched me. This book has touched me. And guys, I'm not preaching anything strange. Because let me tell you something. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the first church was birthed at a prayer time. Those guys were sitting around praying, and the Holy Spirit of God descended on that place, and they were never the same from that point on. They started speaking in tongues. They started praising God. They did it daily, probably more than once a day. And lives were changed. You know why? Because of prayer. Prayer birthed the new church. So you see, prayer is probably the most essential thing we need to have here at Bethesda Baptist. I'm going to tell you what I'm looking at so you can get prepared for it, okay? Here's the preacher's checklist right here. Number one, I'm spending too much time doing things that you can do yourself. Announcements. You got a bulletin? Read it. Amen? I don't want to waste any more time on that when we can be praying for the sick, laying hands on the sick, praying for our community, praying for this church. As far as prayer requests, I want to get our miracle jar, whatever we want to call it. You write down the need, who it is, what the situation is, sympathy, healing, whatever. Put it in there. And on Wednesdays, our prayer warriors that show up to prayer meeting, we're going to pull those names out and we're going to pray for them name by name. Amen. Before we leave that place that night. Is anybody with me in the house today?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Because see, that's what it's going to take to be a church that is pleasing to God.
That's right.
Now we can go through church and I can get up here and preach sermons and all, but I'm going to tell you something. 10 minutes worth of prayer is worth 10 minutes of my sermons any day, and more so, excuse me, worth 10 of my sermons when we pray unified for the Holy Spirit of God to work Amen. In and around us. Prayer is a powerful tool. We don't do enough of it. You say, I pray, preacher. Okay, how many minutes a week do you pray? And I'm including myself here, guys. I'm as guilty as anybody. But the more I read in this book, the more I realize this man prayed and prayed and prayed, and the church prayed. He would even interrupt his service sometimes because somebody came up to him, handed him a little note saying, I think we need to pray about so-and-so today. Boom, just changed, jumped ship, and went right to praying for that person.
Amen.
And guys, that's what it's all about. People taking care of people. God's people. You know, growth will happen here, and it's happening, and I'm thankful for that. But people are going to get connected when they see God's people here getting on fire for Him and willing to go out and reach out into a lost and dying world. Amen?
Amen.
Because until we have that, then we're going to be a status quo church. Now, I'm giving you this. I'm shooting straight from the hip here, guys. And I'm going to go so far as to say this. When I first came here, there were some issues here. There were some people here who were quenching the Holy Spirit of God, and God has removed that problem. And God will continue to remove problems that are keeping His church from moving forward. So let me tell you something. We may be having a few more funerals. I heard an old guy say one time, a preacher asked him, how do I correct the problems that are in the church? He pointed out there to the cemetery, said a few more people are going to have to end up out there before you can solve all of them. That was a shocking awakening statement, but a true statement. But guys, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way because I'm going to tell you what. This preacher is going to follow what the Holy Spirit of God is leading him to do. Amen.
Amen.
And if you get tired of that, hey, you can get rid of me. But if you want to get in tune with what God wants for this church, then get on board with us.
Amen.
If you're not interested in that, come on, sit down. I love you anyway. But don't get in the way of what the Holy Spirit of God's doing here at this church.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Because He's fixing to move through here. He's fixing to do some great things here. I have prayed ever since I've been here for God to enlarge our territory. The prayer of Jabez. Everybody familiar with the prayer of Jabez? You better be prepared when you pray that prayer and you mean it for real. Because God's going to enlarge your territories. He's going to put people in your path that need to hear about the Savior. You got to be ready for that. Let me read this excerpt here to you right quick. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this. It is impossible to spend several months in close study of the remarkable short book. He's talking about the book of Hebrews here. The book of Acts, excuse me, without being profoundly stirred, and to be honest, disturbed. The reader is stirred because he is seeing Christianity, the real thing, in action for the first time in human history. Talking about in Acts chapter 2. The newborn church, as vulnerable as any human child, having neither money, influence, nor power in the ordinary sense, is setting forth joyfully and courageously to win the pagan world for God through Christ. Yet we cannot help feeling disturbed as well as moved, for this surely is the church as it was meant to be. This is how the church was meant to be. It is vigorous and flexible, for these are the days before it ever became fat and short of breath through prosperity or muscle bound by over-organization. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
We sometimes get too over-organized and too top-heavy in churches to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit of God. These men did not make acts of faith. They believed. They did not say their prayers. They really prayed. They did not hold conferences on psychosomatic medicine. They simply healed the sick through the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
But if they were uncomplicated and naive by modern standards, we have ruefully to admit that they were open on the Godward side in a way that is almost unknown today. How many churches really have modeled themselves after that church at Pentecost? Not very many that I'm familiar with. Because if you become a church like that church and you get on fire like that church, these walls will not hold what God's going to do.
Amen.
Amen. These walls will not hold what the Holy Spirit of God is going to do and is going to move through here. So I'm saying this. God has given me a vision. What is the vision? To become a praying church, a worshiping church, and a loving church. In that order. I believe this church needs to be a praying church before it needs to be anything else. Because Jesus answers the prayers. The prayers of a righteous man are fervent and effective. That's from the book of James chapter 5. So you see, righteous people offering up righteous prayers in a unified body, God's going to move. He's going to move. And we need to do that. And I want us to begin to do that. And next Sunday, we're going to start doing some of this stuff here that I'm talking about. And I hope you're on board with me. It's not going to... Some of you are so hooked on tradition that you can't see the movement of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Tradition's going to land you one place if you're not careful. And I hear it's pretty hot in that area of the world. Amen? If all you're about is tradition, you're missing out on what the Holy Spirit of God wants for your life. If all you're about is bricks and mortar, then you've missed it completely. Okay? Because guys, I'm telling you something. God wants to do great things. And He wants to do it through each and every one of us. His will is going to be done one way or another. Either it's going to be through our vessels here, or He's going to send His blessing over to somebody else who is willing to do what He wants done. Now guys, I cannot simply go through the motions here anymore. I'm going to unify my prayer. I'm going to pray for God to raise up leaders from this church. I'm going to pray for God to raise up people who want to help teach, who want to help sing. There may even be somebody here that God's calling to preach at some point in time, to help preach, to reach out. There's so many things I want to do when we get the new building. I want to reach out to the community. I want to have people over here. I want to minister to the homeless, whatever we have to do. Because that's how we know we're in tune with what the Holy Spirit of God wants.
Right.
Now, if you're on board with that, I'm going to ask you to unify your prayers. I'm going to ask you to pray for God to move in this church in a way like He's never moved before. You say, well, preacher, you've been here 6 years now. We ain't never heard all this talk. Well, guess what? It took 6 years for the Holy Spirit of God to get me to this point in time where He's ready to move.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
He's ready to move. It took a youth revival led by young people, most all of them less than 25 years of age, to get a 55-year-old man to realize that's what it's all about.
Amen.
And I don't want to stop with that. I want us to grow as a body of believers. Now, I'm not about numbers. I'm going to tell you what. I would rather have 10 people in this building every week if the Holy Spirit of God is moving through them and they are on fire for the Lord. It's not about numbers. It's about hearing from Jesus and acting on what you hear. And guys, I'm telling you what, if you'll just let go and you'll let the Holy Spirit move and work through you. But see, first of all, this may sound foreign to some of you, and you know why? Because you don't know Jesus. I want you to know Him. I want you to know Him at a personal level. You got to have Him in your heart before you're going to be able to know Him and understand what I'm saying here. But I'm saying this, guys. We got some awesome people at this church. We got people. I love everybody in this building. But guys, I love you, like I said before, too much to leave you in the condition you're in now. I want you to be all you can be for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And I would hope that's what you want. You know what? The Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you treasure Jesus, your heart's going to be focused on that. If you treasure the world, that's where your heart's going to be. So it's plain and simple. Either you're going to serve the risen Savior or you're not. That's a decision you're going to have to make. And hey, we're not going to have you come in at the door and say, okay, people who don't want to do anything over here, on fire people over here, we're not going to do that. Amen. Although sometimes that might not be a bad idea, right? Fuddy-duddies over here, on fire people over here. Amen. Sticks in the mud over here, people that are willing to grow over here. Guys, I'm not here to bash and beat up you. I'm here to help you grow. I'm here to help you grow.
Amen.
But you got to want to grow, amen?
Amen?
Can I get amen?
Amen.
You got to want to grow. If you don't want to grow, guys, I can plant all I want to plant. Tim can testify to this. You can plant all you want to plant, but if you don't do what is necessary for it to grow, it ain't going to grow.
Amen.
You got to plant the Word of God in the hearts of His people, and it will grow. But I can't do it by myself. I cannot do it by myself. I'm giving about all I can give. It's difficult when you're a bivocational pastor. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that. Having to work a full-time job and everything starts falling apart around you, I feel like sometimes I'm inadequate. But God keeps reaffirming me saying, guess what? You just do what I'm leading you to do. And everything's going to be okay. But that's where when we get on fire for Him, then we're all going to come to the rally cry. We're all going to come to the battle cry. We're all going to be on central ground, amen? And that's what I'm looking forward to. So starting next Sunday, I want us to sing like we're singing to Jesus. Not like, amen? I don't care if slobber comes out of your mouth. We'll put more Kleenexes on the rose, amen? All right? Don't be ashamed. And if your person next to you can't sing, put some cotton in your ear. Amen? Or just slide a little bit farther down the row. Amen? They'll finally realize they need to. No, I ain't saying that. I want you to sing as unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I want to hear it next Sunday. I'm going to see if maybe a couple of people want to come and sing some next Sunday. I want us to have a worship experience. I want you to, some of you for the first time, just really let go and let God have His way in your life at church. Amen? It's okay. It's okay to clap your hands when you hear something that really touches you. That's okay. And I think that, you know, we can do that anywhere in public. We can do that. We can yell and we can carry on and we can praise our teams. But it's like when we come to church, everybody thinks you're supposed to be quiet. Heaven's going to be a place of rejoicing. It's going to be a place of rejoicing. It's not going to be a dead place where people just go up there and they just sit down and just have these frowns on their faces. Because I can tell you, there ain't going to be no frowny faces up in heaven, amen? There's going to be smiles on faces. People are going to be glorifying the risen Savior who is going to be the central focus point of heaven. And that's the way it's going to be. So I'm going to close because I have said enough for today. I'm going to close by reading this to you right here. Listen to this right here. Isn't it time to say stop? We're going to pray because God said that when we pray, He will intervene. The sad truth is, in the city where I live, as in Chicago and Philadelphia and Houston and LA, more people are turning to crack than to Christ. More people are dipping into drugs than are getting dipped into baptismal pools. What is going to reverse this tide? Preaching alone will not do it. Classes aren't going to do it. More money for more programs won't do it. Only turning to God, only turning God's house into a house of fervent prayer will reverse the power of evil so evident in the world today. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to clap on that one. Amen. That's what it's going to take to turn the tide in this world today. We got to become a house of fervent prayer. We got to pray without ceasing. If you read enough of the Bible, you're going to see that the key focal point on a lot of what Jesus teaches us is bathed in and around prayer. Without it, God can't work. He cannot work if we don't communicate with Him. So I'm going to ask Mason if he will. This is what we're going to close out on. This is our closing invitational hymn, so to speak. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit may have touched some of you here today. I believe some of you are like this. You like this. Hold up 1 second. Hit pause for me. Hit pause for me. I still got a little more oxygen left. See, here's what I believe some of you are like right now. You're sitting in your pew like this, okay? Good Lord, this is hard to do. You're sitting in your pew like this. You're wanting to get up and maybe come down and pray, but you're like, oh no, I don't want to go do that. Everybody's looking around. Guys, what did we just say it's going to take to make this church the kind of church God wants it to be? We've got to become a house of fervent prayer. If you can't come down and kneel down, at least move up some rows, sit down, and join us in fervent prayer. I'm asking for a movement in this building today for people to come and pray for God to fixate us on where He wants us to be, what He wants us to do. We've got young people that are looking for direction. We've got older people full of wisdom that can give us some great nuggets of wisdom. We've got young adults. We've got middle-aged adults. We got a great blend here at this church. We just got to all come together in one accord and in fervent prayer and do what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do.
Yes.
And we got to get excited about Jesus sometimes. Amen. We cannot just sit back and say, oh God, we're going to church now. Let's everybody be dumbfounded. Let's everybody look like, you know, rocks out there in the driveway. We got to get excited, man. Am I the only one getting excited at church on Sunday? I hope not. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not telling you how to worship. I'm just saying, please worship. Amen.
Yes.
Worship the Savior. Let it be through your voices. Let it be through your smiles. Let it be through your handshakes and welcoming people and making them feel a part of the congregation. But let it show somehow. Okay? I'm going to ask Mason, we're going to play this song, and this is going to be our hymn of invitation. I want you to come and pray for our church. Pray for each other. Then, starting next week, we're going to do a few things a little bit different. We're still going to serve the risen King. We're never going to go away from that. We're never going to go away from the truth. I'm not turning into some feel-good, bubbly preacher all of a sudden, but I am turning into somebody who wants to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit of God is doing and is saying to do and needs to be done. So if you're with me on that, the sky's the limit. If all you want to do is come play church, hey, we open up at 11 o'clock every Sunday. We invite you to come. Amen. But if you want anointing of the Holy Spirit, then you come and you get out of it what the Holy Spirit has given to me and to other people, and you'll take home a blessing. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Let's play that song, if you will. Come and pray. Yes.
Della. Can we lay hands on all the children?
Absolutely. We'll get all the kids up here from preschool on up to high school, and we'll pray for them. See, that's what it's about right there. Thank you for saying that. Whew, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Amen.
That's step number one right there. We got to pray for the future of the church, right?
Yes.
I mean, whether you realize it or not, you look around at your neighbors on your right and left. A lot of us ain't no spring chickens anymore. Amen. I mean, hey, we got one foot on a banana peel and one in the grave. Amen. We're blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. I mean, we're swirling around the bowl just hoping somebody doesn't push the handle. Amen. I mean, hey. We're not getting any younger. That's the point I'm trying to make. Here is the future of the church.
Amen.
Here is the wisdom of the church that can be instilled in the future of the church, where the church can go and be what God wants it to be. Amen.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Everybody using the gifts that God has given you and being willing to impart them to other people. for their uplifting and for their benefit. Yes, after this time of coming to the altar and praying, we're going to get our kids up here on the front, and we're going to lay hands on them. We're going to pray for them. Amen? So play that song for us, Mason, for a few minutes. You do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. If He don't lead you to do anything, don't do anything. Some of you hadn't for 40 years anyway, amen? Amen? But if He does, come on up here and do something.
Myself for a long time, and it's just like you know, I've been for about a year, it's been kind of